You go down as deep as you can go. You push through layer of cause after layer of cause after layer of reason after layer of reason. And when you get to the bottom, there is God. And there is nothing beneath Him.
What should happen when we are confronted with the depths of God? That's the question John Piper answers from Romans 11, 33 to 36 in this episode of Light and Truth. This sermon was originally preached at Bethlehem Baptist Church on March 21st, 2004.
Let's pray together. So plain, Father, what your aim is. Is for us in this passage of Scripture. You want us to rise on wings of awe and wonder and praise and join Paul in this doxology. You want an oh to come out of our hearts and out of our mouths. Oh, the depths, riches, wisdom, knowledge, unsearchable ways, inscrutable judgments, infinite resourcefulness of things and counsel, the beginning, the middle, and the end of all that is, and the end of the matter, to you be the glory. This is our design. This is your design. And so I simply ask that you make it happen. I'm sure there are people here who don't stand in awe of Jesus, don't live for the glory of God, don't feel amazement about how much He knows and how wise He is and how rich. And so, Lord, I pray for them. That they would have now eyes to see and ears to hear, hearts to feel, minds to understand, spiritual things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. One of the great high points, I think it probably was academically, the high point of my brief 6-year teaching career at Bethel College, from 1974 to 1980, when I taught in the Biblical Studies department and carried a band of students for 4 semesters through Greek, making Romans 9 to 11 the final semester as we did rigorous exegesis of these 3 chapters. The high point came like this. It was May. 1977, Tom Steller was in the class as one of my students. And you can ask him if this was so. It was the last day of class, a few days before graduation, when Tom would graduate, and there were about 12 in the class. And I had set myself to summarize the chapters. And to do it with arcing. Only a few of you know what arcing is, but that's okay. I just drew a big line. We used blackboards in those days, all the way across the board from one side of the room to the other, and drew about 6 or 8 big arcs, each representing units of the 3 chapters. The aim in this way of interpreting the Bible is to draw one big arc over the whole with a symbol in it that represents what the main point is. And you just heard the main point of Romans 9 to 11 in these 3 chapters. And I drew the final big arc, and I underlined like this, verse 36 of chapter 11, "From Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever and ever." And as I laid down the chalk, they broke into the doxology. Never happened. Never happened before, never happened since in any class I've ever taught. Unbidden, unasked for, undesigned. I don't know who started it. It just burst. At the end of about, what, 14 weeks of belabored exegesis in Romans 9 to 11. And the tears came to my eyes when I was just thinking this through yesterday. I got all misty-eyed again about it. It was just an absolute... It was one of the reasons I quit teaching. Because I wanted it to happen more often. I like to preach and teach in the context of singing and worship and a lot of people who are being moved, not just thinking. Thinking, yes. So that was a high point. I've already ruined the spontaneity of ending this service that way. So don't plan it. I've got another plan for how to end this service. But it was high. It was sweet. That's what the chapters are all about. So what I want to do tonight and this morning is to focus on verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And that's all I'm going to talk about now in this message. Everything else is result. Everything else is happening because of that. And so when we come back next week, Lord willing, we will unpack the rest of the paragraph as spillover from the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Everything else, the inscrutability of His ways is a result. The fact that nobody can counsel Him is a result. The fact that you can't give anything and expect to be repaid is a result. And the fact that all the glory belongs to Him is the result. Everything else is a result. And so that was a summary of next week's message. So we need to get down into the depths here for a little while before we do that. So let's start. We'll take it one word at a time. I'm going to focus on O, depth, riches, wisdom, knowledge, and God is over and under it all. O, the depth. What do you hear in the word O? O, the depth. I think to ruin it in prosaic fashion, it would mean this is very deep. This is very deep. The depth here is very deep. It's so deep that it elicits a very simple, oh, how deep it is. Indescribably deep. There are not words. There is only, oh, for how deep these riches, this knowledge, and this wisdom are. And so let's talk about depths. When I hear the word depths, I hear three things. I hear hiddenness, I hear reality, and I hear foundation. Let me take those one at a time. Daniel 2:21, hiddenness. God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in darkness. Notice the pairing of deep and hidden in relation to wisdom and knowledge. Connoted in the depths for the Apostle Paul, I believe, are, I can't see it down there. I can't go down there. We can't get down there. There's a depth to riches, a depth to wisdom, and a depth to knowledge where we can't go. It's hidden. It's out of sight. It's unreachable. It's indescribable. And there will always be depths of God like that, I believe. I believe, you know, even when it says in 1 Corinthians 13, then we will know even as we are known, I think that means accurately, not exhaustively. At least not exhaustively all at one time, because our brains are finite and they would explode if you tried to put all of God's knowledge into my brain, even my sanctified brain, it would blow up. We will know accurately in heaven and in the kingdom to come, but I think we will be incrementally knowing God forever. That's what it means for Him to be infinite and me to be finite. I learn something new about God every new day, forever and ever and ever and ever, as long as eternity lasts. That's what infinite means. But now is hidden. Much of God is hidden in His ways and His judgments and His knowledge and His wisdom. Second, besides hiddenness, I hear in the word depths, reality. And what I mean is this. When Paul says, "Oh, how deep is this wisdom?" he means there's something down there. I'm not imagining it. Reality is down there. Now that may strike you as painfully obvious. But you know why I mention it? Because of sitting in the car Friday night listening to NPR, and one of their easily wowed interviewers was interviewing a sophisticated lady talking about religion. And she said, "Theology is poetry." And the interviewer said, "That's a beautiful thought. Would you say more about that?" And she was eager to say more about that, and said more, and ended her more with, "After all, religion is a human art form." I wanted to throw up. Now, I know that the desire to throw up is not entirely holy. And my reporting it is not entirely holy. But it's good for pastors to be honest. I felt like throwing up. And after that moral nausea passed, I did bow my head. Noel was in the house picking up Talitha. And I did bow my head and pray for those two women, that they would stop behaving like three-year-olds, denying the existence of mommy and daddy while they sit at table eating what daddy bought and mommy prepared. Biblical theology may not be perfect in our mouths, but it's not a mere poetic product of human imagination. And Christianity, the depth, the wisdom, the knowledge of God, partially yet truly revealed, is not a human art form. That was not a beautiful thought. It was an ugly thought. Waxing eloquent with sophisticated language on public radio, wowing an unrooted interviewer, that was a deep thought. It wasn't deep. It was unbelievably superficial and evil. There's something down there. Much has been revealed. Chapters 9 to 11 have not been written in vain. They are not unintelligible. They do reveal something, and yet when Paul is done, he says, "Oh, there's a depth where the reality is sunk out of sight, and it is hidden, and it is reality." Those are the first two things I hear in the word depth. The third thing I hear in the word depth is foundation. He could have said, "Oh, the heights of the riches and the wisdom of the knowledge of God. Oh, the heights!" Could have said that, and that would have been true. But he said, "Oh, the depths, the depth." The difference is this. Depth signifies foundation, and height signifies pinnacle. Depth signifies roots, and height signifies glorious, high-stretching, fruit-bearing branches. Depth signifies beginnings, and And height would signify goals and purposes and reaches. And both are absolutely true. From Him and to Him are all things. They're both there in verse 36. But here, at the beginning of this paragraph, He chooses, there's a depth here. There's a foundation here. There's an origin here. And the point seems to be, you go down as deep as you can go. You push through layer of cause after layer of cause after layer of reason after layer of reason. And when you get to the bottom, there is God. And there is nothing beneath Him. Nothing. You can penetrate back or forward, down or up. You can go diagonally in any direction infinitely. And you will find at the beginning and at the end, God. So depth seems to signify hiddenness, reality, foundation. Oh, the depth, unspeakable hiddenness, objective reality, ultimate, bottomless, divine foundation of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. The riches of God are very deep. God is very rich in several senses. God owns everything. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. God owns you. You are His property. And He may do with you according to His rights as owner. And if you rebel against that, you are a colossal fool. Shall a fish rebel against water? Or a bird against air, or a worm against the earth. What folly to say, I will be my own. Which is what the devil has been wanting us to do ever since the beginning. Deuteronomy 10:14 is more sweeping. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is on it. So not only does He own everything on the earth, in the earth, but He owns all the far reaches of space, all the galaxies, and the heaven of the heavens beyond those where all the angels are with God. He owns all the angels. Everything that is not God, God owns. It's His. Human wealth, by comparison, is ridiculously tiny. Bill Gates is a pauper. And I hope he finds out soon. The poorest heir of God is a trillion times richer than Bill Gates. Why would you envy? Why would you covet except for one reason? Unbelief in your Father's riches. He's rich not only because He owns everything, but because He made everything out of nothing and can do it today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In other words, God is rich because He is able to make all that He wants to make out of a resource that is never-endingly available, namely nothingness. All of us are limited in our creativity by the raw materials with which we have to work. God's raw materials are nothing. And there's a lot of it. As much of it as He needs to do anything he wants and make anything he wants. So you don't just think of God's riches in terms of owning what is, which is a lot. The heavens and all the galaxies and all the space in between and all the angel hosts and everything on the earth and all of what we call wealth. He owns it. It's his. He will dispose it as he sees fit. But he has at his resources ability to say be to that which is not, and it is. You can't be any richer than that.
This is Light and Truth. God-centered preaching to help you see Christ clearly and treasure Him truly. I'm your host, Dan Kruver. Thank you for listening. On our next episode, John Piper continues our three-part series, The Riches of God, with a sermon titled, Our Infinite Treasure. I hope you'll join us. For more resources, visit desiringgod.org.